how are you planning for this when all this, like, in terms of work wise and business wise, when all this blows over eventually?
Well, it's kind of funny because obviously it has had an impact, and I had probably two or three productions that were about to go into, we were literally about to, I should be shooting one this week. And there was another one that I was supposed to be shooting in April. And so it definitely has had an impact because it's kind of, those shoots have either been postponed or cancelled. Mm. But at the same time, I'm obviously quite fortunate in the fact that I also do a lot of either project management or script writing, and also the clients that I work with, I have a good enough relationship with them to be like, okay, well, we can't shoot, but there's quite a bit of graphics work on this project. So why don't we do the graphics work now rather than waiting until post-production, so that then when we've shot, we can literally, you know, it's kind of like trying to do things out of sequence. So that's what I'm doing on one particular project, which is good because it means that the project will still definitely go ahead. It just might be, you know, it might not be till the end of the summer that we can film it, which keeps money kind of ticking over. But on the other side of things, you know, yes, it's like it is a big blow in terms of the amount of kind of revenue that those projects would have all generated. But at the same time, I don't know about you, but I feel like the slight silver lining of this kind of thing happening is that the problem when the world is like going at its normal pace, it's really difficult to have any time to just kind of like stop and fully kind of switch off and just reassess and reset and, you know, just have that time out. Because even when I've had time out from projects before to just kind of be like, is this what I want to be doing? Let me just check in with myself. What am I passionate about? What do I want to pursue more of? Even if when I've done that before, I've still kind of carried on ticking things along, whether that would be like taking meetings or speaking at events or, you know, there's always something going on. Whereas this feels like it's the perfect opportunity for anyone who needed a bit of that kind of hard reset headspace to really kind of take that time to do that. So
yeah,
I'm not actually sure what that means in the sense of, you know, there's not like a particular, I'm already, the drama I really want to do is already kind of like well underway. And that is one of the projects that's been postponed because we can't access the funding until this is all over. So the passion project, I guess, I've already kind of done to some extent. Like, I've already written the script. I'm already ready to go, basically. So I don't feel the burning need to be like, I can finally get to that, you know, that thing that I wanted to write and haven't had the chance to, because I feel like I've kind of been scratching that itch this year already. I'm actually not really sure. I know that I want to be posting a lot more online and using this time to kind of like try and connect with the online community a bit more, and I've neglected that for a fair while. But yeah, I mean, that was a whole load.
But that's a job in itself.
It is, like, isn't it?
Having to keep up on that.
It is.
I was at a point where I was like trying to post on Instagram every day, and I can't even remember the last time I posted on it now.
You get burnout, don't you? Because it's not just posting, it's then keeping on top of the comments, it's then replying to the DMs, and then when you do that across different platforms, it becomes, I find it anyway, like quite overwhelming.
Yeah, yeah.
And you always think that like writing an Instagram caption is going to take like 10 seconds, but it actually takes, you know, a full on hour of being like, why can't I write this one sentence? Like, what's wrong with me?
Come on, think of something witty.
Exactly. Exactly. But I'm trying to be a little bit more, like, I posted a video on Instagram earlier this week, which was, you know, just utter improv ramble kind of bullshit, basically. Like, not bullshit in the sense of, it's not, you know, it's all from the heart and it is genuinely what I think, but it's also just rambly nonsense. And I could have really made that like a really structured video that I, you know, sat down and planned, but I just thought, if I don't do it now, if I don't just try and do it, I'm not going to do it, so I'm just going to do it. How are you balancing everything? How are you thinking about work? What are you using this time for?
Well, see, just before all this was really kicking off, then I was reaching out to different places about like projects and things like that to get involved in. Got some emails back. Things were like chugging along, and then obviously this kicked in, and then it was like, oh yeah, we're not going to do this anytime soon. So yeah, now I'm kind of sort of thinking about, because that my concern at the moment is now that you know, after this, obviously, you know, it's inevitable that there's going to be a bit of a recession, and the businesses aren't going to be able to afford to pay for like services as such, which will be annoying because obviously bills need to be paid. Can't defer those, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. I don't have any control over a global pandemic. Because like when we spoke the other day, you know, it was saying, you know, what, you know, does 360 video have a future? And I think there's like certain things like documentaries, I don't think you're going to get, not going to be as effective, you know, if it was a documentary that's completely made in Unity.
But I guess so context to people listening who obviously weren't part of that conversation. So we were talking.
Oh, what?
Hang on, unless you were secretly recording that conversation. But yeah, the context of that obviously is us talking about 360 versus game and where we are with the industry and what we want to focus on. And absolutely, I totally agree with you. The thing is, though, I don't think it's a question of whether you could do something like documentary or drama or whatever in Unity rather than 360. I think it's more a case of film-based projects. There's a very specific reason why you would do a film-based project right now, and that's not to say that that's going to go away, because I totally agree with you. I think and this might be something that we actually talked about on that call, was the fact that I could, you know, literally put on a headset right now and be in the middle of Japan or on a beach in Hawaii. That's not something that's like, you can't, that's not going to be replaced by computer graphics. But what I would, the caveat to that, and obviously, like you, 360 is my, that's my specialism. That's my bread and butter. And also,
it's your jam.
That's my jam. And also, like you, it's because I come from a filmmaking background and I love film. So I don't even really have an, I'm not a gamer. So I'm not particularly interested in making a game. I might do something that's more game based in future, but, or like, you know, more interactive and have that kind of like those elements to it. But I'm not, you know, I'm not a gamer, so I don't particularly want to go into the space of VR gaming. Although I'm not gonna lie, Half-Life Alyx does look pretty fucking cool.
Oh, don't!
It looks,
I so want to play that.
It looks insane, and I was like, "Ooh, if I get an Oculus, the Link that turns the Quest into a Rift." I was like, "Ooh, maybe I could play it." And then I was like, "Well, that's good, right? Because I'm not a gamer." And it looked so good that I was like, "I would give that a go."
And that's a fair old game as well. Like, that's not a short game. Someone said it's like at least 8 hours long or something.
Sweet. I guess it makes sense because it's like, it's huge IP, isn't it? Like, that is an IP that was like a traditional. Anyway, going back to the whole like 360 thing though, like, I totally agree with you. I think there will be use cases for it. But my thing is, like, the more that I am close to where all of the kind of the uptake is happening in terms of, like, really in the entertainment world it's gaming, but in the general uptake of VR it tends to be the business side of things, right? I mean, those are the two main kind of avenues, I guess. And with the business side of things, just the thing that I'm seeing more and more is, although 360 is great, that interactivity is something that people are wanting more and more. And although, you know, you can do interactive 360, I'm just wondering, and I don't think 360 will go away, but what I think will happen is technology will evolve so that we are able to do more kind of like volumetric capture at a cheaper price. And it will be the same kind of workflows-ish as 360 in terms of, like, you know, using filmmaking techniques rather than kind of game design. Yeah, I don't know. That was a right ramble. I'm well out of practice on this. I was about to say we're, but you're definitely not. You're still on it. I'm just like, my brain is all over. Oh,
no, I don't think I was ever on it. It's just full ramble 24/7.
This is when our listeners reach out and they're like, David's going to be like, you just to let you both know, you've never ever been on it. Yeah. But we listen anyway because you know, we like to listen to Muppets ranting about the industry.
It's always sounded like you were both in isolation.
Yeah. Because the funny thing, just coming back to Corona for just a second,
brothers in plural.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just brothers, isn't it?
Me and my brothers, we both, but what I mean,
brother,
both my brother, my brother and I,
my brethren,
my brethren and I, it's like kind of like, because we all work from home. Obviously we've got offices, like me and my older brother share an office, but mm-hmm. it's not like we're like there at set times all the time. So we're like, we have been training for isolation our entire lives. We're all hermits. We all don't like socializing that much. And we, and we work from home really a lot of the time anyway.
So it's walk in the park, really.
Yeah. I mean, this is my idea of heaven, quite frankly. I mean, obviously I wish people weren't dying as a result of it, but you know, silver linings.
It's funny because, like, sometimes when I go into alt space, like, unless I'm in there for a particular reason, I don't particularly like to socialize a lot of the time. I don't know, and that's the whole point of going in there. So I don't know why I'm in there. I just bored, and I just fancy a wander around. I would go for a walk in virtual reality.
I had a whole I had a little go in rec room and alt space the other day. And in alt space, it made me laugh so much because I was just literally using it to snoop on other people's conversations, because obviously you can hear everyone all around you.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was basically like all these kids, and it was so funny because these kids were like being like quite mean to each other. One of them be like, "I'm going to go away now." And he's like, "Oh, do you not want to?" And he's like, "Yeah, I don't want to talk to you anymore." And he's like being really blunt and horrible to each other. And then there was these like two other people that were like, "Oh, so you sound like the only other adult here." And the other person was like, "Yeah, I mean, it is kind of just kids in here, isn't it?" It was so weird. It was such a weird experience. And I just stayed silent the whole time. I was just like, this is strange, but I'm kind of into it.
I just want to apologize for anyone that was offended by those accents.
I mean, I think you'll find that my American accents are pretty damn good.
That's, you've been practicing them in isolation?
Especially my Texas. You know, I like to talk to myself in different accents to make me feel like I've got some company.
Oh dear!
Amazing. I particularly like my northern one. I'm getting pretty. No, that was awful. Hang on, let me try again. I'm particularly good at my northern accent now. I'm like trying really hard to like know how to speak like a northerner.
That's not bad, actually.
Right?
It sounds like you're in Coronation Street.
Exactly. That was the vibe I was going for.
Then you've nailed it.
Thank you.
There you go. You should audition. if this whole thing doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Even that, but then they're not filming at the moment anyway, so screwed. Screwed either way.
But yeah, coming back to the whole like I can't remember how we got onto alt space from 360 and VR, but I don't know. Do you agree in general with what I'm saying?
What were you saying about
The technology converging a bit more, like 360 becoming a bit better than it currently is?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I can't even remember how we got to this conversation again.
Yeah, me neither.
Where did we? What was it? I'm completely lost.
Hang on. I said, "How's this?" No, we really
scared so well.
We could really use with rewinding. You said something about, we were having a conversation the other day about the future of 360.
Oh yeah, that was it. Yeah, yeah.
But then I can't remember the context of why you brought that up.
No, it's because we were talking about it the other day, and I think we were both having that a little thing where we were like, is this going to be a long lasting thing? Can we, is there going to be a future in this, like, work wise?
Though I think my conclusion is, VR itself, I absolutely 100% believe in the technology. I genuinely.
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Same as you, right? But then 360 itself. But then I had this thing yesterday where I was kind of realizing, you know, when you first got into this industry and you had to teach yourself everything because it was all a shit show and no one knew what they were doing, so you had to kind of like learn everything. Yeah. I think we're at that point now where, like you say, it's kind of like feels like, well, neither one of us want to learn how to use Unity because we don't have an interest in that. But it does feel like we're at that point where it's like, in order to, you know, we can continue doing 360, absolutely 100%. And, but in order to like go to a different kind of level with 360, with VR in terms of stuff that would maybe appeal to, a bigger entertainment audience, aka a gaming audience, the next step would have to be to reskill and retrain in that different skill set. And I'm just feeling particularly lazy, but that's just not something that I have an interest in doing.
Do you think though, because I think there's got to be some transferable skills from 360 to something like that. I mean, especially in terms of obviously a key part of it is getting the audience to look in the place that you want them to look, you know.
I think directing techniques and script writing techniques will be very, very similar, but I guess it's more a case of like, you know, because I've produced and wrote for game-based VR projects in commercial and entertainment space, but I don't know, I just, because you don't know the workflow as well, because, you know, obviously you can have like a really in-depth conversation with someone in a 360 production about what you want to happen in post, even if you're not doing the post, because you know how to do it. Whereas I find anyway, when I work with developers, I find it a little bit more difficult to understand where they're coming from. So when they're telling me, no, your character can't have legs because we don't have the poly count for that, and in order to make it work for a quest, you can only have, you know, X amount of poly count for your characters. Then I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Do you know what I mean? And that's stuff that you can obviously learn, but I guess it's a whole kind of new world.
Yeah. But then that's an easy fix. Then you just don't give the character legs. You change the character.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's just a character without legs.
Now.
There we go. Fixed. I'm out of here. Early day for me.
Yeah, I'm done. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I do absolutely 100% think that there is, right, as of right now, obviously, there's so much opportunity for 360, and there will be for the next few years, I think, because it will still be needed, and people still discover the medium for the first time. I mean, I'm writing something at the moment. I'm not sure whether I'm allowed to talk about the fact that I'm writing it. Maybe if I just keep it.
You just mentioned it.
Yeah, I know.
You can't just leave us like this now.
So, well, I'm kind of
just
like,
be very vague about it. So it's about someone with no legs.
Yeah, I'll be vague, but it's not a drama project. It's basically like I've been asked to write essentially a chapter of someone's book, but this book is specifically about VR, and the chapter is all about why you. Basically, it's kind of like a guide to 360. And part of the kind of opening is talking about like why you might use 360 over traditional VR. And I, like, you know, when I was writing it, I genuinely, and I still do genuinely believe in those reasons. Like, for example, you know, you like what you're saying with documentaries, you can't capture moments with Unity. So, and you can't have the same photorealism with game, and you've got, yet anyway, and there are it's easier to use as a first-time user, it's less overwhelming, it's easier to distribute. Like, these are all reasons why 360 is still a really safe bet for the next few years. But I guess my brain goes to, well, what happens when everyone has done, because I'm sure you can agree, God, I feel like I'm just like not completing sentences at all.
You and me both.
But I forgive us if you're listening to this and you're like, there's definitely been five conversations that haven't been finished.
They didn't even start. They just started in the middle.
Yeah.
And ended in the middle. That was it.
You know, like anyone that does VR, once you've done VR and seen a lot of VR, you kind of, your appetite changes in terms of the kind of content you like. And actually, yes, there's some 360 pieces, like anything that Felix and Paul's puts out generally is like super engaging and beautifully shot and gripping, and you know, the subjects are amazing and that kind of thing. But realistically, your appetite grows to be, okay, well, I want it to be more interactive. I want there to be more going on. I want it to be more high stakes. And all of a sudden, you're kind of, do you know what I mean?
Hello, you broke up a bit there.
Do you know what I mean about like,
yeah, oh yeah, definitely. I mean, like I was saying to you the other week about Common Ground by AC Films.
Yeah.
It had a perfect blend of 360 and interactive parts to it. But I don't know. I think I've been watching a few bits and pieces lately because obviously I have time.
Yeah.
Because there's a pandemic going on out there.
I don't know whether anyone knew, but.
So I'll be watching some stuff there. I don't know. I think it depends on the subject, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. If it was something about space, I watched a space documentary the other day. Something like that, I'd want a bit of interactivity with.
So, you know, how much time are you spending on a headset every week?
Right. So, obviously, when I was working with Veer, quite a lot, because that was part of my job. But now that isn't part of my job, as there is no job.
Yep.
Not as much since, weirdly. So it's only recently that I've dug the headset out.
Yeah.
And been revisiting some bits and pieces. I don't know, almost like to kind of re-engage and try and like, and just remember why, you know, I enjoy it again.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. It's after a little while, you're like,
come to.
I do like, yeah, I like it. I think it'll catch on.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
See, I swing back and forth between, yes, this is the future of everything. Like, 360 is amazing. To, why did I dedicate my career to this? Why have I done this to myself?
But this is the thing as well. I mean, this is the other thing. It's also, and yeah, I'm not saying this is something you should sort of base your career on. It's obviously just do whatever you enjoy. But at the same time, with this kind of industry, it is, you know, big fish, small pond, as opposed to if you're just, you know, working on traditional flat or 2D or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Then you're going to be like small fish, big pond.
Well, I totally, yeah, totally. And that's the thing. I think also there's so many things that I love about the VR industry that's not just the work. Like, don't get me wrong, you know, I do love the work and I love the process of actually making VR. I've openly admitted on this podcast before that
it actually feels more natural to me than like traditional, like flat filmmaking.
What, in terms of weirdly creating it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
it feels a lot more natural and I feel a lot more confident in what I'm talking about.
That's really cool.
I'm not sure anyone else would agree.
But I totally agree with you. And I think it's probably because we've been in it since the kind of beginning. And so, you know, you've gone through those stages of having to like learn everything from the ground up and knowing, yeah, kind of having to teach yourself it and knowing everything about the process. Whereas I think most of the time when you go into like traditional video making, because there's so many people doing it, it feels like you never know, you know, half as much as anyone else does, which is probably incorrect because everyone kind of has that kind of imposter syndrome. But, you know, even when I watch like Peter McKinnon videos, I'm like, you know, I know how to edit, but I'm just like looking at his videos sometimes and some of the effects he's using. And I'm like, how the f- bloody hell is he doing that? That looks absolutely incredible.
See, it's funny you mentioned that, because I had a bit of a cull on my YouTube subscriptions.
Oh yeah.
And so I was following, you know, Peter McKinnon and you know, other people like that. I've got rid of them all now.
Really?
Because because I don't know, everything feels the same now. It's all the swishy transitions and stuff like that, and I don't know, I feel that affects other people's work. If you're watching too much of what other people are doing, then you just end up trying to copy them.
Yeah, it's true.
Rather than just doing your own thing or what you think is cool.
So who do you mainly follow now for like filmmaking stuff?
I don't really, because I don't really do it so much anymore.
So what are your interests? What are your go-to subscriptions? If I were to go on your YouTube homepage, what would be the kind of things recommended?
All right, let's have a look.
Ooh, let's see who I've got. New segment.
Right, this is interesting. There's a few random stuff. So I follow a channel called 60 Second Docs. So sometimes they've got some interesting...
Oh, yes, actually, I've seen them.
60 Second Docs, funnily enough. Abroad in Japan. You ever seen him? I'm a big fan of Japan.
Abroad in Japan, no.
Yeah, it's just this British guy who lives in Japan. He has videos about Japan. But he's quite a funny guy. It's just very dry humour. BBC Click, because they tend to have a lot of VR stuff.
What's that?
Yeah. So it's worth a look. Obviously 360 Rumours, obviously Ben. Yes, there's not much anymore. Obviously Gary V, that's a given.
Of course.
I still follow Indie Film Hustle and Indie Mogul.
Oh, I love Indie Film Hustle. I like the Film Entrepreneur podcast as well. That's quite good.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because some of that is quite quite handy and you know, stuff that's potentially transferable.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Matt Diavella, obviously.
Oh, I love Matt.
That's given. Let's face it, who doesn't follow Matt Diavella?
Such a beautiful man.
These days, Philip Bloom.
Oh, he did a live again. I was the first time the other day, didn't he?
Yeah. So I watched that, and I was watching this, and I'm thinking, none of this really applies to me anymore, because I'm not doing any of that stuff. So I'm like, should I unfollow? But I was like, it's Philip Bloom. You can't. Like, he's just fun to watch.
What kind of stuff was he talking about? Like a lot of specific stuff about camera gear and stuff.
Yeah, it was just like Q&A stuff. So people were mainly asking the gear related questions, as they do. You know, it's just the standard. Obviously, I follow Ryan Reynolds because it's Ryan Reynolds.
What does he do? Does he do vlogs and stuff?
No. But he does a lot of. Like his own marketing for like his movies, and he owns a gin company, so there's a lot of marketing for that. And his marketing is genius.
Is it? Why?
It's brilliant. So you know the those Peloton bikes?
Yes.
Is that a yeah? Or no? I can't hear you.
Oh, can you hear me? Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. So they released a commercial in the States, and people were in uproar about it because it came across that this husband bought his wife a Peloton bike for Christmas because he felt she was overweight.
Oh, God.
Watching it, I didn't really think that came across like that myself anyway. But so there's uproar about it. They said it was within 36 hours of that ad going out and the uproar. Ryan Reynolds and his team with the gin company that he owns went out, hired the actress from that ad, and then made like a spin-off ad where she plays the same character in a bar with her two friends drinking their gin. And the friends going, "Oh, I'm so glad you left him," and all this, like, "He wasn't right for you." And then at the end they just go,
"Clever.
Oh, you look great, by the way."
Clever.
It is very good. Just genius. Absolutely genius. So he's worth a follow just for that. His marketing is fantastic. Even the films and stuff that he does is just...
I'm not going to lie, I very much enjoyed Detective Pikachu.
It's brilliant. It was really good.
I watched it on the way back from Qatar the other week, and I was like, I hate flying, so I was overly tired. It was like an overnight flight. Overly tired, just exhausted, emotional. I'd gone away to do like some writing and just to kind of take a bit of time away from England, because I had this script to finish for the BFI project, and I was just like kind of banging my head against a wall. So I took myself away, ended up watching Detective Pikachu and cried about 5 times. And I was like, why am I crying? I was crying at the bit, you know, where like the Bulbasaurs all come over the hill to come and save
people. Yeah.
I was just like crying at these Bulbasaurs, like, what's wrong with me? It was a really good film. I didn't anticipate it to be that good. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, neither did I. I really wasn't expecting anything from it, but yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. We've strayed here massively.
I was thinking, how the hell did we get to... Oh, it was because I was like, who do you follow on YouTube? That's how we got here.
Let's face it. This
Ryan Reynolds appreciation.
Anyone that's listened to this before, this is not going to be much of a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, this could definitely be titled the Corona/Rambly episode. This is like the warm-up to an actual episode, right? Because this is like...
Yeah. But, right, so... Funnily enough, though, that our previous conversation would have been a good little segue to what I was going to go on to, but for now we don't have a segue.
Okay.
So I'll going back to the previous conversation about 360, and then segueing into what I was going to say. So I mentioned to you earlier in the text that I had an idea about like a creative project that we could get everyone who wants to get involved anyway, while we're, you know, all locked in and stuff.
Yeah.
So I was thinking it might be quite interesting if, you know, whoever's listening and wants to get involved anywhere around the world, to do like a 360, everyone does like a 360 video diary of, you know, being in isolation and you know, during this time. And we could sort of edit them in altogether into episodes, and then it could almost act like a VR time capsule.
Ooh, I like it.
So further down the road, people can then experience what it was like to live in isolation.
I like that. I mean, it will
during this pandemic.
Lots of shots of people in their pants in their living rooms, but I enjoy it. I like it a lot.
I enjoy it. Virtually sitting in rooms with people in their pants.
Yes. I would be happy.
That's why I got into this.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be totally up for that.
That's cool.
I think
it just keeps us creating. And that's the one of the things we always say, that we just don't really sort of get time to do much anymore.
Yeah.
And now we have nothing but.
No, nothing but time. The thing that I would say is, like, we probably need some kind of times on it. Like, you know, like every Friday or something, someone upload or whatever. That would be quite good. Funnily enough, it's funny you bring this up for the BFI project, I went into this year basically saying that I'd had a really mental year last year. I was like, the only thing I want to get done this year is this BFI project, which now, ironically, I don't know what's happening with it because you can't get the funding because of Corona. So to keep myself accountable, every week I've been recording a progress video every Sunday and without fail. So even if I've got nothing to report, even if I'm like, I was a lazy asshole this week and did nothing on this project, every Sunday I have to record a video basically saying what's happened. But obviously it's been really interesting because the last probably 3 or 4 weeks have been various degrees of like, this is what's happening with the project. But also there's like this other thing happening in the world that's quite important. Like the one that I did this recent Sunday, I actually had quite a lot to update in terms of, obviously I'd got the news that the funding was now going to be delayed because of Corona, but I'd also had a chat with my script editor. So I was like, had lots of things to talk about the script itself. And obviously I talked to you about being involved in it, so I've like started conversations around like crew that would want to work on it and that kind of thing. So I had loads to report, but basically about 2 seconds in I was just like, so the world is basically in a free-falling apocalypse. It's so fucking strange. It's just having this full-on rant at the camera about how weird it is. And I thought, oh, this is quite nice. It's like a nice, like you say, it's kind of like that time capsule. But obviously, it'd be way better in 360 because then people can actually live, they can step back in time and actually live in that.
I mean, I think if anyone's, you know, been in with, like, for 3 months and stuff, at some point, you're going to, if you're in it with a headset on, you're going to be able to feel that frustration of the other person.
It's kind of like a Big Brother's diary room, but...
Yeah. But you're sitting in the diary room with them.
Yeah. I like that.
But I was going to put together, like, I don't know, like a quick website or something and put details and stuff on there. But if anyone's interested, get in touch with me and... And then I'll put out details as and when.
Yeah,
and then definitely. We can just do it. Yeah, like you say, do a weekly thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll set up like a Google Drive where people can upload their video and stuff.
That's
and then I can download that and then edit it together and then we can release an episode each week or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be really good. Let's hold on.
Nice.
Let's hold you accountable to that. So.
Okay, no pressure. For sure. I haven't got time to watch Pikachu or YouTube now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Just cancelling my YouTube account.
It's funny because the notion of creating, right, and like just creating and like kind of invigorating that and reflexing that muscle, because it's something that, especially during this period where people aren't necessarily going to be able to be getting out and creating, it would be good to kind of like get those creative juices flowing. But it's funny because I've been thinking a lot about where kind of passion comes from for projects. And it's funny because although specializing in VR, you know, I really love it. I love the community. I love the industry. I love the technology. What I'm beginning to realize is that it's more about what you're saying with the piece, and the VR is just the technology, right? Which might sound so obvious, but I'm like trying to kind of like articulate it out loud because it's something that I was like thinking about recently, is that idea of it's not, I think the passion comes from the fact that you're passionate about the idea. Like thing that my script editor just constantly like keeps coming back to with the script for Bad News is, but what are you trying to say? You know, what's this piece about? And not to say that every single thing you do has to have this big grand meaning behind it, but there must be a reason why you're drawn to certain ideas. There must be a reason why you know, that whether it be for a kind of a dramatic purpose or whether it be for a, I want people to feel X, Y, Z when they watch this, kind of honing in on that is quite important for projects. And I thought that was a really interesting insight, and it's something that I found really true, because in the process of redrafting Bad News, the piece even though I've like banged my head against a wall and procrastinated so hard on doing the last couple of drafts, if you read the first version of the script compared to what it is now, you would be like, wow, like the you can so tell that there's like an actual reason for this piece now. There's a lot more going on. There's a lot more clarity in like the characters and the action that's happening, because I am clearer in my head about why I'm doing this piece and what I want to say. And I think that's quite a good thing for anyone who works in the creative field to think about, is like, what is that thing, you know, like filmmaking, and specifically 360 filmmaking can be the vehicle, but what is it that you want to be creating? What is it that you want to be saying with that work is something to maybe have a think about.
Definitely. Couldn't agree more.
Oh my God.
And it's a good read.
Intentional.
As well.
Thank you.
It's a good read as well.
Yeah. Did you enjoy it?
I did. I could, the thing is, I could visualize it as well. Like, as I was reading it, I was like, oh, this is going to look so cool.
Yes!
Especially the opening. I mean, I'm not going to go into details and stuff, and you know, keep surprising and stuff, but the especially opening scene.
Yeah.
You know, that there's one particular shot in there, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
Well, firstly, I was thinking, ooh, how are going to pull that off?
Yep.
but then I was like, if it works, it's gonna look really cool.
You can imagine it. I mean, the shot.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The shot. I mean, yeah, I do kind of. Obviously, I want it to be a surprise for people who watch it, but that shot in particular is playing with that idea of like, how do you? Because the script is written from a first person point of view, so you're a character. But I wanted you to establish a relationship with that character first. I wanted you to be able to see who you were about to become. But like, I didn't want to do the clunky, like, you know, I'm looking in the mirror, looking at this character, kind of cheap.
Yeah, yeah.
So the shot that Dan is describing is the idea of like the camera is like going from an outer body to inner body, basically, and that transition is quite. It's going to be difficult to pull off,
but it'd be well worth it because it will look really cool.
Yeah, it will. And I've not seen anything like that.
No, neither have I.
Yeah. I've not really seen any kind of, even in like the bigger budget 360 dramas, you don't see much experimentation with like camera work.
And this is the thing. This is part of the point of just pushing the medium forward.
Yeah.
You know, it's not trying to stick to the same tried and tested formulas.
Yeah.
Just mess around, try new things.
Yeah, definitely.
And that would look really cool. That was, yeah. I liked that. I read that at the beginning. I was like, oh.
Well, good, because you're probably going to be the one responsible for trying to pull that off. So good luck.
Son of a. Well, I've got months to figure it out.
Yeah, so. Exactly. We've got a little bit more time now. It's funny, though, because I want to shoot it ideally on a Titan. But obviously the nature of the shot is that it's moving. And I ain't got the budget to be like hiring in a rover or whatever they're called. So we're going to have to think about, you know, how we're going to move the camera.
Well, funnily enough, you should say that. I was thinking the other day about how to potentially build a cheap version of one of those.
Oh, yeah?
That's about as far as I got into the thought process of that. Or just put it on a boosted board, get one of those boosted boards.
Oh, yeah, to be fair. That would serve multiple purposes in my life. So
there you go, see?
Could be swayed.
There you go. You could be like Leicester's Casey Neistat.
I mean, there is a part of me that thinks with Bad News, there is a part of me that thinks, would it be kind of interesting to people to be putting out the script, to be putting out... I would have to talk to the BFI about like whether or not they'd be happy for me to do that. But there's a part of me that thinks it's almost a shame that I can't talk about it more. Well, and it's not to say that I can't, it's just obviously the traditional way is that you don't generally talk about it until it's out in the world and then you would talk about it. But I kind of feel like it would be really interesting for people to see that journey and, you know, to read the script and then be like, yeah, how the fuck are they going to pull that off? And then to see the Instagram story of on the shoot, like us trying to figure that out and almost doing it, obviously at the moment, there would be that disconnect, but wondering whether that is something to maybe think about.
Well, then you could do it like in a video series or something.
Yeah.
As well. Yeah. IGTV series.
Oh, you know I'm all about the IGTV.
you do love an IGTV.
It's mainly, you know what it is? It's mainly because I really can't be asked to learn how to do YouTube. Ben would have my throat for saying that. Like, but yeah, because there just seems to be so much to it. And I'm like, oh, I can't really be bothered to learn how to do proper tag words and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It just seems like a lot.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. That's why I never bothered with it. Like, I can't.
But you did
when you're doing that and like have projects to work on as well at the same time, it's not, you know, it's all right for people like Peter McKinnon who just quit, saved that bit of money, quit, and then just went full in.
Yeah.
Then it's fine. But if you're, you know, if you've got other projects on the side that you're working on that are essentially your bread and butter, you haven't really got all the time to put into YouTube.
Yeah, I'll stick to my IGTV for now.
And plus, it doesn't really pay out as much as it did before now. I think a lot of people are complaining that, you know, especially the AdWords or whatever.
Yeah.
Or Google revenue, ad revenue.
Yeah, you don't earn hardly anything from AdSense.
Yeah, AdSense, that was it, not AdWords.
Well, I think that's the thing. I wouldn't necessarily be doing it for that I wouldn't really be doing. Well, obviously, a lot of people do
for the passive income.
For the PI. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would love some passive income right about now. But
that'd be lovely, wouldn't it?
You know, watch this space for my online course. like, I would actually 100%. And don't get me wrong, that is absolutely something that I'm looking into and thinking about how I can translate over. But I wouldn't necessarily be. I like to release content because I genuinely think it's helping people and it's stuff that I would have wanted to kind of know how to do. And don't get me wrong, I think there's absolutely a place for things like, you know, like with what Ben's been doing with like putting out courses for Virtual Tour Pro and that kind of thing, like absolute mad respect. I mean, the amount of work he put into that course, it is unreal, the amount of hours it took for him to pull that together. And no doubt there's people that will come out of the other side of that and, you know, go on to make a lot more money with their virtual tours because of it. So I absolutely have a respect for it. But I just find it really difficult to like have the foresight and the commitment to spend 3 years building an audience, like to then put hours in to make a course to then sell, even though, you know, I don't know. For me, I just think that's still something I can't quite get my head around what that would look like for me. You know what I mean? Don't know.
Yeah.
You ever think about?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Is it more that maybe you don't have as much passion to do that as to sort of create original content, like original stories and things like that?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely. I think anything that requires that amount of effort, you've obviously got to be really quite passionate about it. And my specialism and my kind of the stuff that I like doing is drama based stuff. So having to create something, but I do think there is absolute validity, and you know, I would probably be able to do way more original content and way more you know, dramas and be able to reinvest back into the community if I had passive income, because the thing is 90% of my time is taking up with client work and with you know, workshops and masterclasses. And the thing is, someone said to me recently, you know, why haven't you considered just recording some of your keynotes or the masterclasses you do and then releasing them as kind of like courses? And it's funny because there's obviously like this mental block, because you know, obviously I get paid to go and talk and they're charging people to listen to that talk. So when I do a masterclass, you know, people are paying whatever it might be, £50 to £100 per person to go and be part of that workshop. Now, obviously I don't get that. I'm getting paid a set fee to be the speaker for that event. But what's the difference between me recording myself doing that workshop and then releasing it online for £50 or whatever it is, versus other people charging for me? And I don't know why, but somewhere in my head that is a very different thing, and I'm not sure why.
But are part of those workshops practical as well, so that like you'll go out and shoot something?
In the past they have been, although now it's more a case of it's a lot more theory based, and then it might be like we'll do demos and things. So it might be that I'm talking specifically. I mean, generally speaking, it will be around like directing 360, for example. So instead of having to like, you know, get cameras for the whole class and making, although I think that is a really obviously great way to learn, sometimes it's not feasible. So it tends to be, okay, we've just talked about this idea of directing attention and editing between kind of like scenes and how you can draw people's attention. So let's put our headsets on and have a look at this scene that I did from this particular project, and then we'll talk about, you know, what the editing was like in that, or you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I doubt you'd probably be allowed to record any of like masterclasses that you did for someone else that you was getting paid to do, and then sell it on yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
yeah, they'll be like, she's taking the piss.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, I know what you mean. I mean, there's been times where I've thought about, you know, online courses and stuff like that, but I don't know, it's weird when you I think for me, when you start writing stuff that's a bit more, you know, educational, it's not as fun to write an educational script as it is to just something that you've made up.
Yeah.
Something completely fictional.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's just because that's the way that our brains are wired. Like I sent a friend of mine who is going to be producing Bad News. She's like, she's a shit hot filmmaker in her own right. And she's done a 360 piece, but she's very much like passionate about documentary. And she read Bad News and was like, wow, like I have so many questions about like where this idea came from and why you would want to write, you know, where, like, basically what is the kind of reason why you would want to write something like this? Because for her, because she's such a documentary kind of person, she just would never in a million years want to make a fiction piece. Whereas I'm like, all of my ideas are fiction. Like if I get, I, when I am doing something that is more factual based, obviously a lot of the commercial work I do is factual based, although more and more I'm gearing it more to like, it's usually like drama reenactments or like training that requires actors and things like that. But I find it really difficult to like stick with a factual project because I just, that's just not the way my brain's wired.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. I like documentaries as well, but I kind of feel like they almost write themselves.
Yeah.
Like the writing for those really is in the edit.
So true.
For me anyway.
Yeah.
Because, you don't know what's coming. You can't cater for it unless it's a mockumentary.
Have you watched Matt Diavella's series that he did years ago before he became like super famous? It was like his behind the scenes of making his documentary Minimalism.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Really good, right? And like you're saying, like that whole thing was basically made in the edit. Just watching that made me like go, oh God, oh, I couldn't think of anything worse.
But then I guess, I mean, part of the corporate stuff that I've done in the past, that was kind of a similar thing. It was always do the interview first, then get shots around, you know, what they're talking about. But I never really had any idea how it all, probably shouldn't be saying that really, but never really had any idea how it's all going to cobble together. I just knew that I'd had enough that I could make something out of it. And then it would just kind of come together.
That's really funny.
In the end.
Well, I do a lot of that. When I end up, I do like this, I do a lot of like, I guess, mini docs or whatever for my friend who's like a musician. And like, you know, she played Latitude this year and I'll like just record behind the scenes and stuff with her, that kind of thing. And in those moments, I have absolutely no idea how that's going to piece together. I just record load of footage and then, like you say, you just kind of cobble it together and just have, you just like have faith that you're going to make it work. But I do find it that a little bit more stressful than a fictional piece that you have complete control over.
I agree. I think that, especially something like that, like playing Latitude, that's a big thing. And if, you know, you only get one shot, that would stress me out a bit. That would absolutely stress me out a bit.
I feel like weddings though, and I know that we talked about this the other day, but the reason why I've never done weddings, I mean, don't get me wrong, I've only ever been to two weddings, and both of them they asked me to film it in VR, and both of those times, even though I was like, there's no pressure, like literally if this goes wrong, I'm like, cool, well, whatever, I was just doing this as a favor, I'm not being paid to do this. But the thing that terrified me is like, you literally have one job and it's to capture the moment that they say I do. What if your battery ran out?
Like, well,
you missed it.
This is it. Like, I was super anal about stuff like that.
Yeah,
so I always had at least two cameras on the go.
Oh, okay.
At any one time.
Yeah
Three if I could. But I mean, it's not always necessarily down to the gear really for that either. It can be the people like the registrars or like vicars or the master of ceremonies that could make you miss stuff. Registrars in particular and stuff, they hate the videographers and photographers. As anyone that's filmed a wedding will know, the majority of the time, you're very much unwanted there. even though you're there to do the same, you know, the same job, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I did one where the vicar wouldn't allow us in the church during the ceremony. We had to stand in the doorway.
How can you call a wedding from the doorway?
Well, this is what I asked. And yeah, she was very adamant. She didn't allow any wiggle room. She said that I could stay at the top of the aisle as the bride walked up the aisle. But then once she got to the front, I had to run out of this side door, run around to the back of the church, and then stand in the doorway. So it was just me and the photographer wedged in this doorway.
And did it end up looking good, or?
No. Not really. But it's like, what can you do? There's nothing I can do. That's, you know, it's her church, her rules.
Yeah.
Nothing I can do about it.
God, you'd be so pissed if you'd spent a load of money on a photographer and videographer and then to find out that they weren't actually allowed in to film it.
Well, this is it. I mean, I said to him, I sent him an email, you know, a few days afterwards to say, look, you know, just to let you know. But they must have known anyway when they couldn't see neither me nor the photographer around. Yeah. You know, like they've done a runner. So, yeah, it's one of those things. You can't be obs, but yeah. It stressed me out because I'm just a control freak when it comes to stuff like that.
Well, I think you.
I need to know that I've every single base covered.
Yeah.
Because I know I can't. I don't get another shot at it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing with people that reach out to me and ask me about, you know, like 360 weddings or that kind of thing. It's like you know, about offering that as a service. And obviously that is a phenomenal idea. Like I say, I've done two, like one was a friend's and one was my brother's, and both of them turned out really well. And like the idea of now people being able to put on their headsets and relive those weddings is like really exciting. But the one thing that I'd always say is like, make sure you test the hell out of your 360 camera. Know where its burnout point is. Know like when it will overheat. Know how much data, like how long. Because that's the kind of stuff that I remember doing my brother's, and we had, it was kind of before the consumer cameras were any good. So it was like I was shooting with, a GoPro rig that had a customized Entania. Or Entania, however, lenses on them, and then we suspended a Samsung Gear 360 from the roof just so that I had like kind of a second kind of camera. And during, I think it was fine for the ceremony, but obviously you've got the problem with GoPro that it truncates the files, so like it's only ever records for 10 minutes at a time or so. So that was a nightmare for Pose to like have to stitch that together, as in literally edit the footage together. Then stitch it and then edit it again. But the Gear 360 like died within like maybe 10 minutes of it being on, just because it overheated like a bitch. And and so I think that's the kind of stuff where, again, like obviously there's an element of that with traditional videography, but especially with 360, if you're going to do like events or that kind of thing, like just the limitations of the cameras is something that you should really like be on top of, if that's something you can be offering,
especially something like a church wedding as well, because they go on for a bit. And I don't know, like having a backup camera as well on that, then there's two, and it's not even like you can go up and check it. I suppose depends what, I don't know, how did you, could you, you couldn't remote control your GoPro rig, could you? How does that work? GoPro got an app, but it depends on what GoPro you got, I guess, if it's
So I could only, because it was obviously, it wasn't connected, so it was like that's the thing, that rig, and I still have that rig, it cost me like $2,500 or something, and essentially all it is a Fusion. That's basically what that rig is, but obviously this was before the Fusion existed. The amount of kit that I have in my like office that is just like, I'm never going to use this again, and it cost me like five times the amount that you could buy it for now. But anyway, trying not to be bitter. But yeah, I could monitor one camera. So I just monitored the front camera, and then I had a second phone that was monitoring the Gear 360, but obviously because it was suspended from the roof, I couldn't do anything about it when it died. But yeah, and then with the back, you know, GoPro camera, it was just like just hoping that it was okay. You know, I could see that it was flashing red, so I just kind of to some extent knew that it was still rolling, but
yeah,
no idea that it this was that these was, you know, in the days where you just kind of like press record and hoped for the best.
Yeah.
Do you remember those days?
It's weird, isn't it? I never really took that into account. Because you kind of just think, oh, just hit record and then, you know, you're kind of done.
Yeah.
Until it ends. But yeah, there's no, you can't even have any cutaway shots to, you know, to hide any of the cuts.
Nope. And that's the thing.
That's horrible. Yeah, it's not worth doing. Yeah. I'd do one. And ultimately just retire after that one day because they'll be like, that's too stressful for me.
And I think if you've got like, you know, I don't personally own a 1X, but if you've got a 1X and you know that if you've hooked it up to an external battery, that beast will go for like 3 hours or whatever, and you've got a beastie SD card in there, and like, then fair dues. But I guess it's, yeah, it's like just knowing that camera inside out and just knowing its limitations. Mm. That's the big thing. But yeah, I don't know. How did we even get in?
Yeah, no, it sounds too stressful for me. I'm not I'm not interested in that.
Yeah, I have absolutely no idea how we got onto this topic.
Neither do I. We've literally gone
around the houses tonight, but
but that's all you can do when you're in isolation.
Exactly. Yeah,
go around the house. It's as far as you can go.
So good.
Some Corona humor for you there.
Very good. We got to stay soon. Well, I mean, fingers crossed that we will do more of these now that we have a bit more free time. And
yeah.
And hopefully the next time it will be a little bit more coherent. I mean, probably not. But
probably not. Let's face it. Why? Yeah.
This is basically just
our. Why stop now?
This is our therapy for bitching about the VR industry. That's basically.
Oh, dear. Yeah. I'll do more. So yeah, if anyone wants to get in touch and wants us to cover any particular subject,
yeah, then holler.
Or wants to know more about my YouTube subscription list.
You know, I'm not gonna lie, I enjoy things like that. I mean, definitely if you're listening to this, get in touch and tell me the first 5 videos that are recommended on your YouTube feed, because I find that shit fascinating, because your algorithm knows you better than you do, you know?
Oh, that doesn't bode well then.
Well, I don't know. Yours is pretty eclectic.
All right, so do you want to know my top 5 recommended? Oh, actually, this isn't too bad. there are some other randoms on here. So the first one is things to do in VR while quarantined.
Mm-hmm.
So that's relevant.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
That's really good.
Hang on. Okay, it doesn't go across. Okay, so that is literally it. Okay, so then the next one is James May roasts YouTubers' cars.
Right.
it's only because I found out that Clarkson, Hammond and May had a YouTube channel the other day, because I've been watching loads of videos on Teslas lately.
Oh, so just very nice.
Find that quite fascinating. Then the third one is evidently a clip from Contagion. Mm-hmm. Because obviously I watched a trailer the other night before I rewatched it.
Yeah.
My fourth one is a deleted scene, by looks of it, from This Country. Have you seen This Country?
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Do you watch This Country?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a deleted scene from that. And this is by far the most random one. So my fifth and final one is the Daniel Wakeford experience. It's a Wonderful City music video.
Daniel, who's Daniel?
If you don't know who Daniel Wakeford is, he is one of the guys from the Undateables. I don't know why that's on there.
That's amazing.
I don't know why. But he is one of my favourites from the show, so what? I'm not that mad.
Oh.
He is brilliant.
Oh, that is interesting.
Yeah.
Let me have a look
at that. That's so random.
That is
such a random list.
Well, I'm not gonna lie. I love YouTube. I'm absolutely addicted to YouTube, but my algorithm has not been on point recently because so many of the videos that come up on my recommended, I'm like, I don't want to see this shit. I don't care. Mm. Anyway, so mine are the latest Matt Diavella video.
Cool.
The Daily Quarantine by Pat Flynn, who is a really cool entrepreneur, yep. And he's doing like daily live streams, which I'm thoroughly enjoying. Brutally Honest Business Advice by The Future, who I don't know if you know them, but they're like,
yeah. I subscribe to them as well. They're on my list.
Yeah, the thing is, I find it really hit and miss because Chris Du, the guy who runs that, I find him to be really, really patronizing. Like the way he like talks to people kind of pisses me off, but at the same time, he does have some pretty good advice. Anyway, Matt, Pat.
So if you're listening, Chris, there's some feedback for you.
Some feedback. And then I've got Yahoo Finance, Coronavirus Economic Damage. And then I've got Simon Sinek, Empathy, the best speech of all time.
So yeah, but yours does have a bit of a theme to it.
Yep.
To be fair, mine's all over the place.
Yeah, yours is really eclectic. I'm just
so erratic. I don't know if this is eclectic. I think erratic is the term.
Yours,
for that.
Your algorithm's got personality. Let's put it that way.
Oh no. I can't believe my YouTube algorithm has come to that. Oh, it's the algorithm that all the other algorithms make fun of.
Just such a good guy, you know.
He's a trier. Yeah. We will say that about him.
I don't know what that means, but I think that that's a slang term for what we're saying.
At this rate, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Fine. dear.
Well, yeah, get in touch, anyone who is interested in partaking in our quarantine diaries.
Yep.
And then also get in touch and tell me, because I'm interested, what your 5 recommended videos on your YouTube feed are. And is there anything else to say?
Stay safe, I guess. I mean, that's
staying healthy.
I'd hope that's pretty obvious.
Yeah. We're all right through this. We will get through this.
Yeah.
This
Daniel Bedingfield.
I get the feeling this podcast episode has been fairly miserable, but have no fear. we will get through this with cheer.
Exactly. I don't know. There's been some lulls along the way, I think, in the past almost hour and a half.
There's been a few lulls.
Hopefully. Yeah. Let's hope other people lulled along. That'd be nice. Right. Well, in that case, then, until the next one.
Ciao for now.
Stay safe. And don't touch anything you shouldn't.
Yeah, don't touch your face.
Yeah, don't touch your face.